You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Well, we don't get the elongated version today. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little annoyed. I wanted us... I really wanted us to, you know, have to kind of sit in it a little bit longer to find out
to
like
sit what, in it a little longer.
What Poyer was actually going to be on the Bills roster. Was it going to be active roster? Was it going to be practice squad? We'll never know. Well, we found out in like 20 minutes.
Well, now we do
know.
I'm a little annoyed. Yeah, thanks, Jordan Schultz, for being the first on that and giving us less context.
It is what it is.
I mean, you're rushing to be first on it. I guess I kind of understand.
Yeah, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We will start today's show right away, as we also had some news yesterday going to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, initially when you were going to come on at 10, it was just going to be to talk about the 53-man roster, which would have been news enough. But then today we also got the Jordan Poyer stuff, so there's plenty to talk about.
No doubt. Good morning, guys. Wherever you want to start, if you wanted to come work backward, we could start with Jordan Poyer. But, you know, today's the day. It's not just 53. We learned a little bit after the 40 report he was signing with the Bills. That came from Jordan Schultz, I believe, originally. Then Diana Rossini and others reported that it's going to be on the practice squad. So, you know, these things are very fluid sometimes. You have to kind of take a step back, see what's happening. You know, the Bills get 53 guys in their active roster. They have that. They also get 17 players, counting an international guy, on their practice squad. So a total of 70 players overall, counting the active and practice squad, it appears. Jordan Poyer is going to be joining that group.
And so, yeah, we'll start there, Sal. So on Poyer, ultimately he leaves last year. The Bills made the decision and they were going to move on from him. He was not particularly good in Miami. Now, ultimately, and I did joke that I'm a little annoyed. I kind of want us to sit in it and kind of stew and what's going on. We found out fairly quickly from reports that he's going to be a practice squad guy. Do you see this a lot more to the Micah Hyde role last year where he kind of came in, the expectation was not for him to play and much more to be sort of that quote-unquote coach on the field?
Yes, I think in a way, but the fact that he's signing now is a little different. You know, Micah didn't sign until later in the year. There are always rumors that Micah was going to join the team, right? Always. And I kept saying, can't see it until late, can't see it until late. And it did happen until late, but he never even was activated. He never played in a game. He really was just a coach on the field, on the practice field. And I think I can definitely see that happening here. And maybe Jordan gets himself up to speed and shape, everything like that, where the team feels, okay, we need a guy, we can bring him up. I think we're a ways away from that, though. You know, let's see where it is. Let's see what he says about his role. Let's see what the team says about his role. You know, he, like Micah, had expressed interest in retiring a Buffalo Bill, right, and being around. And, you know, maybe that's a part of it. Hey, there's a chance for you to do that. We got a spot. As long as you're going to come in, do your job every day, help us prepare, help the young guys. There's no harm in that, to be quite honest with you. You know, I think that if there are plans, and I don't know this, if there are plans for him to eventually like be a part of the active roster, then I think that says a lot about what the Bills feel about their secondary right now. But I think we're a ways away from really knowing that or thinking that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Sal. I guess it's for me and maybe where I'm a little more of a nervous Nelly, especially with the secondary, the injuries they've picked up. Hairston, we'll get to him, but he's going to be on IR with designation to return. Bishop missing, of course, time both in this camp and last year. For me, it was the same with the Justin Simmons stuff when a lot of fans really wanted the Bills to go out and go get him. To me, at least, Sal, and I could be very wrong on this and kind of reaching, but if that's going to happen, if they were going to go get a Justin Simmons or Jordan Poyer is expected to be, you know, on the 53-man roster and starting day one, to me that almost points to before even year two starts, they've given up on Cole Bishop, and I can't see that. I know he struggled against the Bears. He was much better against Tampa Bay. He does seem to be coming along. I can't see it.
Yeah, but I don't go there. I think there are more than two spots, you know, as safety. Just because you sign a guy doesn't mean he has to be a starter right away or you're giving up on your starter. There's depth positions, you know, and if guys want to play in the league and they want to help, you can bring him in as a depth piece. It might mean that they just don't like what they have behind Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp. I don't think you have to get to right away if someone signs, that means Cole Bishop isn't the guy they like. I think everything points to, in fact, in the way I interpret it, that they really like what they've seen from Cole Bishop over the last couple of weeks and the way he's trending. Sure, there could be some concerns there. I'm not doubting that, but you also have DeMar Hamlin and you have Jordan Hancock and you have Cam Lewis listed as a safety. And, you know, they have guys on. Derek Forrest came in. He didn't even make the team. You know, he's on the practice squad right now. There's a report about another safety coming in, Sam Franklin. Now, he's more of a special teams guy, I would say, that Chris Tabor has worked with. So I'd be careful about going that far, to be honest with you, Zach, of, well, they must not have faith in, you know, Cole Bishop. It could just be, we need a little more depth. You know, the bottom of the roster matters too, especially for teams trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westerr Hotline. Sal, moving on a little bit from the Jordan Poyer signing, the 53-man roster, not a lot of surprises, but some encouraging things there as well. Trey White did not get put on any injured list. Dane Jackson does ultimately get released, so it does look like, while Hairston is on injured reserve designated to return, it does look like, though, that Trey White seems to be at least healthy enough that they're not making a roster move exclusively about that.
So far, that's right, and I agree with you. I do want to make sure people understand that that could happen today, technically, right?
Like, right.
They could still put him on IR today, and he would still be able to return. You get, once you're on the 53-man roster, once that's set, there is no such thing after that as IR for the season, season-ending IR. Everyone who goes on IR from this point forward can still come back. The only difference is you don't declare it right away. If the guy goes on IR, then after 4 weeks, you can evaluate, do we want to bring him back? So I just want to make sure people understand that could still happen with Tre'Davious White. I don't know if it will. And the fact that they haven't, to my knowledge, brought in any corners here to, you know, solidify that position, and they did move on from Dane Jackson, I would agree with you, Derek. It leans me more towards that's not happening, and that's encouraging. It doesn't mean he has to be necessarily available week one. It may be an injury that they feel He's still going to miss a couple of weeks, so we don't have to. We don't want to put him on a 4-week IR, but we still have to see massage the roster a little bit. So there's a lot to be done today, and pretty much we'll know by 1 p.m. because waivers end at noon. I think guys get awarded, you know, via the waiver system by 1 p.m. They can go, and you know, teams can do those, you know, transactions they need to do.
And then, Sal, the other corner news we got yesterday, Harrison, as you've mentioned, you know, the last few weeks, that you expected Harrison to be put on IR with the designation to return. I guess for him and where I go last night for me was a big that their two big secondary pieces they've added the last 2 years have missed crucial time, namely in camp. Bishop, we've talked about it a lot, missed 3 weeks last year and really was never able to catch up. It took all of last year and even injuries for him to get into the starting lineup, where Harrison, he misses most of camp this year with that LCL sprain. It's just like they needed to make additions there, and it just feels like they're not season-ending injuries, but they do feel, at least for Bishop and maybe for Harrison, season-defining injuries for them.
For sure. I mean, Max Harris, I agree that it's a very good comparison. We saw what it cost Cole Bishop last year by missing the time that he missed with his injury. And now you're dealing with that with another young player here. The problem is, people say, well, yeah, but when you get him back, why can't he just, you know, get up to speed? The difference between how you operate training camp versus how you operate regular season practices. Training camp is for that. It's learning the system. It's getting all those reps, tons and tons of reps. That's when you have to develop. That's when you have to get all of that under your belt. Once you get to the season, practices are shorter. There's not as many, and it's game planning. Like, you're not putting them out there just to get them ready. You got to put guys out there who are getting ready for a game, and you're game planning for the Baltimore Ravens and then the New York Jets the next week and then the Miami Dolphins and so on. So that's why it's so valuable. So you hope here, the hope is that Max Harrison, after 4 weeks, they evaluate and say, you know what, he's good to go. Let's put him on the practice field. Once that happens, he can start practicing. That automatically gets him the IR designated to return designation. You only get 8 of those. The Bills, he's already one of them. They declared that. But then they have 21 days to put him on the active roster once the day is that he starts practicing.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Another player also put on IR, Tylan Grable. I don't think that one was too surprising. He is just dealing with concussion, but I heard Joe Marino talking this morning about that too. And when concussions linger, they really do linger. They can last quite a while.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think that he'd be put on IR because I'll tell you why, guys. He had been in a red jersey at practice last week.
Mm.
So it didn't seem to me like that would be, you have to remember, again, IR means 4 games.
Yeah.
So they put him on IR. To me, he was trying to, like, okay, he's coming through, he's progressing through the protocol. So I didn't have that. The only thing that I missed on my 53-man roster projection was this, was Tylan Grable going on IR. I actually had Cedric Van Fran Granger staying on PUP, essentially the same thing. But it's the other way around. It's Cedric Van Fran Granger who gets activated. He has not even practiced a single snap yet or day during training camp or preseason. So now that will happen since he's activated. Tylan Grable can't play or practice for 4 weeks. So to me, it was surprising. I didn't see that happening. I thought it would be Van Fran Granger who would be the guy, but it allowed them also by doing that to keep 9 offensive linemen, and that's where they are right now. And to me, that wasn't a surprise. They basically always do keep 9 offensive linemen, it seems. I think 1 year they did keep 10, but you're allowed to keep, you know, you can keep as many as you want, but on game day, you dress 8, and that triggers the extra roster spot to get to 48, which is why you generally keep 9, because that way you have 9 on the team, then 8 dress on game day.
Sal, obviously Tyrell Shavers, the big name with training camp that ends up making the roster outright. As at the end of preseason, I think many expected at this point, a player that earned his way onto the 53-man roster and now ends up with the receiving corps and hopefully can continue to make an impact here.
For sure. I thought he earned it. It was trending that way for a couple of weeks. I thought Saturday put him over the top with that catch. And the fact that he played 50% of the special team snaps. Now, how they evaluate him on special team snaps, we're not in those rooms, but the fact that he was on the field for 12 out of 24 special team snaps told me that they were making sure that they want to be, you know, buttoned up, that he can play that role. And as I've tried to explain many times, if you're going to be the last wide receiver on the roster, which he basically is, you have to play special teams. So you have to be able to do that. And he's got to. So I agree. I think it's great for him. Love the fact that he did that and that he made the team. Good for Tyrell Shavers. He told me after the game he felt he did enough last year to make the team, but he didn't. So I'm really happy for him, and we'll see where it goes. I think he is the bottom last wide receiver offensively.
He'll maybe get some crumbs, some snaps. You know, we'll see how that works. And then he's going to contribute on special teams as well.
Staying with wide receivers, Curtis Samuel does make the roster. I guess it's not too surprising unless they were going to move him, but that was the thing that a lot of Bills fans were talking about, to maybe save that $7 million in cap. Do they want to move him? There's a lot of needy teams for wide receivers up until
today.
Well,
they wouldn't save $7 million in cap. They would only save half a million.
Okay.
The cap was already spent on Curtis Samuel, which is, I think, if you would have saved $7 million, I think that's a definitely different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the reason why, they only to trade him would they have saved that money. And I don't know if any team would have been able to take on that salary. So with him, you would have only saved $500,000. That money's spent. He is counting $7 million on the cap whether he was here or not, unless you traded him. So to me, you know, I go back to what Sean McDermott said. When he saw him come back to practice for a couple of days, and he's like, he really liked what he saw, but he wants to see him get through a game, and then all of a sudden he's sick and he can't do that. So Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore, I had them on the team, but I definitely had thought, hey, there's a scenario here where maybe they do, you know, do something else for the roster spot and move on from one of them.
But with Samuel, what have you seen in the last few weeks with him now coming back from his injuries? It did feel like once he came back from injury, Sal, that he reestablished himself that, yeah, he's going to be a member of this offense. He is going to have a maybe even significant role.
Well, I'll just go back to what I think their role was from last year, and it just never materialized. I think that they really had plans for him to be on the offense, be on the field on offense, to line up in different spots, to be a matchup guy. That could be outside. That could be in the slot. That could be in the backfield. All these different ways they want to get him the ball. You know, the injury really hampered him. Early training camp, he gets hurt like second week of preseason, doesn't play for a while. He never really fully recovered. And by the time he did, there was just no spot for him to do all those things. And then you're getting him little bubble screens. It's not working well. And, you know, that has to change this year. They have to be able to get him the ball better in space. They have to be able to get him the ball better down the field. I think that's what the role is they envisioned for him. I think it's the role they envisioned last year for him. It didn't materialize. And, it's all about staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, I think that's what they want to do.
Sal, last one from me here about the defensive line. Obviously, Hoyt and Ogunjobi, they are suspended for the first six games of the regular season. And I'd imagine, though, that the defensive line rotation might end up looking a little bit different. So, obviously, we'll talk about this conversation in weeks' time. But just let everyone know what the process might be about that with the six-game suspension, when they will be allowed to practice again, anything else of the like.
They can't play for six games. The Bills have a bye week 7, so you won't see them on the field until week 8. They can start practicing with the team after 4 weeks. They do not count on the roster until they get activated, though, from the six-week suspension. So after 4 weeks, they can get back into the facility. I don't know if they can actually practice on the field. I have to get that clarified, but I know they can go to team meetings. They cannot do anything with the team. They can't be around the team, the facility, in any official capacity in these next 4 weeks. Like, literally have to work out on their own, you know, meal rooms on their own. They can't come in. Once 4 weeks is up, they can start doing that, and then you can activate them after 6 weeks, and then we'll cross that bridge. Yes, a lot of people ask me, what do they do when they come back? I don't know. I mean, that's a long way away. That's a month and a half of a football season where you're playing games and guys are getting banged up. Injuries will certainly have a role in that, and I will tell you this, I think the Bills hope they have a really tough decision because that means everybody's playing well and everybody's healthy, to be honest, when they come back, but we'll see what that happens.
Sal Cabaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, last thing for me. With today, we have not really heard from the Bills too much since they wrapped up their preseason. Do we have anything on the docket today in terms of people speaking, practice, what have you?
Yeah, so today, as I said earlier, there's a lot of transaction stuff going around the league. Teams are finalizing they're signing guys to their practice squad who are veterans right now, and we'll start hearing things like that, like you hear Jordan Poyer, things like that. Anybody who is not in the league 4 years, they're subject to waivers. Today's the claims. They have to go in. We have about another hour and 45 minutes here before they are officially done with that, and then they will get claimed and awarded to teams. The award process is the order of the draft, so the Tennessee Titans have the first claim on any player, and they doesn't reset. If they want a guy, they get him. They want another guy, they get him. It just keeps going. The Bills have the 30th claim. So, you know, there's 30 teams ahead of the Bills. If there's a guy out there they want, they get that guy first if they want him. It's tough. And then once that's done, 1 o'clock or so, they'll know their roster. They'll put some pen to paper for a lot of these guys. Guys come back to the facility. We will hear from General Manager Brandon Bean today at 2:30 p.m. He'll speak to the media. We'll find more about Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips. And then team is scheduled to be on the practice field at 3 o'clock, guys. And it's going to be the team. It's going to be their 53. It's going to be their practice squad. And honestly, like, this is it. You're preparing for the Ravens now. And in fact, so much so that starting today, The media cannot watch all of practice. We go out and we watch stretching and warm-ups. We go back to the media room. We go out later. We go in the locker room and interview, but the real football is here now, practice-wise.
All right. Sounds good. It's finally here, Sal. All right, man. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. You too. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I was wondering about that, too, if we would get, like, practice right away, ready to
right.
go. We are. It's now back to the afternoon schedule as well. It's not the morning schedule like they had at training camp. So it's good. On the Jordan Poyer stuff, we are, as Sal mentioned, going to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean at 2:30. I imagine One Bills Live will be playing that as it happens. But on Poyer, I mentioned it a bit as a joke, but I am somewhat annoyed that we sort of already know. There wasn't that little bit of time where we could all sort of freak out or be excited, what have you. It does look like he is going to be on the practice squad, along with Jordan Phillips as well. And the reason why is, like, I have a very different reaction to both of those guys being on the practice squad than the 53-man roster. If Poyer was on the 53, I am much more nervous about where they're at with the safety room. They moved on from Poyer because they didn't think he was particularly good enough. He is 34.
Yeah.
He did not play well with the Dolphins last year. And if you're that nervous about your safety room, you know, kind of 2 years in a row now
where
you haven't done enough.
You also, over the last 2 years, have whiffed on adding veteran safety help. Oddly enough, like, say Jordan Poyer wanted to come back in a depth role, that probably would have been better than what you did, which was signing Mike Edwards and Derek Forrest in consecutive years.
It may have been because
so,
both.
I mean, oddly enough, maybe the answer was there all along and both parties went their separate directions in terms of safety depth. Because honestly, if Poyer was signed to be the backup last year, it would have been more of an impact than what Edwards' signing was or what Forrest's signing has been. So egg on everyone's face, including ours? I don't know. Everyone stinks. That's my motto on this one.
But yeah, like they haven't done, I guess, quote unquote, enough there. I mean, there are still questions. Of course, Cole Bishop is one of them. Now, I'm happy to start hearing though that Bishop has looked much better. The Bills are happier with where he's been the last few weeks. I would agree with that. Again, I mentioned it, and I heard Joe Marino mentioning it with Jeremy and Joe, that Bishop, when he played in the Bears game, which sent everyone into a hoopla, he had practiced like 2 days after being injured for like 2 weeks and then was thrown in with a bunch of backups. He didn't look particularly good. Unsurprising. Do I want to see some good things from him? Of course. We hadn't seen anything good from him yet. We hadn't seen anything that would show like, got it. They've got one of their starting safeties. Tampa looked much better. To hear the Bills feel pretty good about him, I feel much better. But I will tell you, like, I do still sit more on if the Bills were bringing in Poyer and he was going to be on the 53-man roster, it was not going to be for someone like Hamlin.
And maybe there are still designs.
I don't think that would be.
We don't know. There may still be designs of getting Poyer onto the active 53. Like, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of – I think that's where part of the some of the uncertainty comes with some fans right now is and it's in my stomach a little bit as well. It's in the pit there. However, because we don't know that, the only thing is that I've got a fear bunker. And that's if Taylor Rapp goes to break up a long pass and he hits Cole Bishop and the two of them get knocked out, that we're one of those heat-seeking missiles away from a potential, what, DeMar Hamlin, Jordan Poyer tandem?
I guess my problem is, though,
they'd probably go to Cam Lewis or Jordan Hancock first, but, like, there's your fear bunker.
But, like, where I sit with all of this, though, is, and I bring this up a lot, the college comparison, you don't have a 90-man roster. Like, your depth is thin regardless of what team you are. You hope your immediate backup is good enough, let alone your fourth corner, your fifth corner, your third or fourth safety. You hope any of those guys are good enough because the NFL has a very thin line. It's a 53-man roster. It is a small window. I mean, we were talking about, you know, sixth wide receiver. The sixth wide receiver for the Bills might catch 15 passes all year.
Right.
Like, that's, I mean, Sal's brought it up too. Like, that's why Tyrell Shavers needed to prove he could play special teams. Because if he couldn't, what is the point of having him on the roster?
Now he
proved it. He played 50% of the special team snaps on over the weekend. Great. But, like, that's my thing is the depth thing. And you're right to have the fear bunker. I'm all for it. I get it. But that's where, like, your depth's going to get tested regardless, no matter who you are.
And the fear bunker thing is meant to be a joke. Obviously, I never want to see that ever happen. And if it does, please throw rocks at me. Like Shavers, though, playing special teams, that's how you get a game day jersey. That's you're not a healthy scratch at that point. We have a use for you during the game, and if you're not able to get snaps on offense, we can still get you on the field.
Yeah.
That is why Shavers is also doing that. It's not just about getting to the 53. That's about getting a game day jersey. That is taking that next step to making sure that you're not just a healthy scratch for more than half the year. You then could play special teams, because if one depth player that needs to be like a gunner on a punt return is not able to play, guess who's got the 53 and guess who's got a game day jersey that day? Tyrell Shavers does. So that part is important, I think. It allows you to really see that there's something more there than just making the 53-man roster. It's about having a game day jersey. That game day, you're playing in this game, there is a big difference. Because look at it, Joe Andreessen last year. He makes the 53-man roster, but he's a healthy scratch for the first couple of games. It's like, ah, man, you'd really like to see him getting that first game day jersey in the first game of the year. Not the case. Shavers is going to try to avoid that by adding some utility to his game. And you're right, the depth being tested and everything like that. Rosters are not as deep as they are in college. However, they did expand practice squads for this. And I don't want to say that it's necessarily weird. I don't know what the right word for it is. But for the second year in a row to have one of your former elite safeties on a practice squad position to be a mentor and coach for the safeties in the room, what does that tell you about your safeties?
Yeah, it does lead you to be really worried. I mean, you could even just kind of outright say it. How many mentors do they need, kind of deal? Maybe if it's Cole Bishop just outright. I think also it could just be the Bills, you know, dotting their I's, crossing their T's, making sure. Because Bishop is a second-round pick. He is the highest they put into that safety position in years because of Hayden Poyer. They need it to work. Likewise, they kind of need Harrison to work.
It's also Rapp. Rapp was seen as a valuable piece that was going to become the heir apparent to Hayden Poyer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also got, this is also on Taylor Rapp as well. Like, I don't know if it's exclusively Poyer. Again, that could be proven or not based on whatever people say. But yeah, I'm not going to put this all on Cole Bishop, really, is what I'm saying here. This also has to do with the safety room as a whole. Because have you been trying for years to get a guy to beat out DeMar Hamlin and it's just not happening?
I mean, I think that almost might be pretty obvious with Edwards and Forrest.
Exactly.
And as much as you may not like Hamlin and on the field, you arguably they've been trying and really missing. Edwards and Forrest both do absolutely nothing in camp. Forrest at least came in with the, hey, he started his career off great in Washington, just seemingly didn't fit Dan Quinn's system when he got there. I heard his name like three times over training camp. And most of it was, yeah, Forrest isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing anything. He's not even part of this discussion. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills 53 initial man roster has been released. Any thoughts on that? Jordan Poyer as well. Looks like he's coming back to the practice squad. We will see, though, on that. But before we hit our next time out, I do want to remind you that get ready for the inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. It's a full day of golf, community, and giving back with a car giveaway on a par 3 hole-in-1 and a $10,000 cash prize, a putting contest, raffles, silent auctions, and more. All proceeds go to the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. Spots are limited. Register now at backteegolfclassic.com. Let's help and make a difference. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
I played 12 years. I'm extremely thankful and blessed to have played the game for such a long time. And, you know, last year was an extremely tough year on so many levels. You know, our team wasn't very good. You know, I didn't play as well as I wanted to play. You know, it's just a really tough year, obviously, transitioning from Buffalo to Miami. Cultures being different, systems being different. You know, it just didn't work out the way that anybody had hoped. But at the same time, you know, I'm thankful for it all. Thankful for, you know, all the moments, all the friendships. And, you know, would I like to play again? Absolutely.
Well, I guess now current Bill safety Jordan Poyer talking back in May about wanting to maybe come back to the Bills, finish his career out, retire here.
Maybe play a little bit.
It looks like it's going to be a practice squad role. Of course, that could change, you know, injuries, what have you. My dream is that he's just the Micah Hyde. They brought him in. He wants to kind of finish out his career in Buffalo. Could be a mentor to the young guys that they're bringing up, namely Cole Bishop, but also guys like Taylor Rapp. Don't really know where they're going to go with it. It's nice, though, to see other teams go back to the well. Adam Thielen, Minnesota traded for him, a conditional fourth and fifth.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a bit rich for a 35-year-old receiver.
Yeah, at least now that I'm thinking about it, like, there's a lot of reunions going on, actually. Like, Thielen being traded back to the Vikings.
It's not unsurprising.
Amari Cooper's with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks is back with the Saints. Keenan Allen's with the Chargers.
Brandon Cooks is with the Saints?
Yes.
Good for him. I didn't see that one. Good for him.
Everyone's doing it. It's
perennially underrated, but always pretty good.
It's the new hip thing. I should call her.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Everything reminds me of her. I should call her. Absolutely. I know we all get frustrated with it, especially because, we cover the Bills. We all follow the Bills. That's the main team. So every time they do that, it comes off as like they're the only team doing it. It is not surprising. You'll see it with coaching staffs as well. Oh, I worked with this guy once. I'm going to bring him along to my new job kind of deal. I worked with this player once. I'm going to bring him along to, this spot now. It's not unsurprising. These are million-dollar jobs and high stress. You want people that you trust that know how you operate. You know how they operate. I understand that. My frustration ends up coming from this, Derek, is that a lot of this seems to happen because they have not really nailed a lot of their draft picks. The young players have not become really what they wanted to see. It's where I get really excited about what we saw from TJ Sanders and Deion Walker. It's why I get that excited is because for them at least – this is just the preseason. It's just camp. It does not feel like we'll have to be, told like we're five. Hey, they're slowly coming around. They're developing the whole thing. It just feels like they're ready to go. And while there will be growing pains because they're rookies, they look like they're just going to be good NFL players, both of them. Maybe even great NFL players. That's being a bit much, though, again, after just preseason. Where for years it has felt like with these first and second round picks, they're slowly coming around. Injuries, that's not something the Bills can, plan for, but that happens all the time. And it's just that to me is, I think, why they go to a lot of these guys that were previously on the roster is because Bishop missed desperately needed time both last year and this year in camp. Max Harrison has missed time in camp this year. Mm-hmm. And we'll see when he's available.
We'll see when he's available.
He's been put on IR, and while he can come back in the first four games, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to start week five or six.
Right.
I mean, I that's why I called it season-defining injuries for both he and Bishop of these last 2 years. They missed the genuine practice time rather than game time where they could, once they're ready to go, they can come back.
Which, considering the coaching staff has been concerned about Bishop missing potentially another camp's worth of injury time, I don't know if Harrison's going to be able to get to where they want him to be mm-hmm. comfortably. And yet, there is a time period to get it done. You can slow play this. He's obviously out the first 4 weeks. So you get him back and you get him practicing, right? Week five, week six, if you're able to survive with the current depth chart at corner, and then you work him in with the bye week after week six, and then suddenly the defense has Hoyt Ogunjobi on the front and then Hairston on the back.
Actually, it is funny to think about. That'd be a lot of additions they get going into Carolina.
All of a sudden, after the bye week, you have your depth chart looking vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's not as bad of a situation. Whereas Bishop last year, he misses all of camp. And then the first moment they have to tap the shoulder, it's week five. And sink or swim.
Yeah.
Corner is a deeper depth chart than safety ever is. That's just numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes more sense that Harrison would be able to have a little bit more leeway because Bishop was pushed in due to injury. Harrison might have to be, but I'd imagine you're going to have Dayden Jackson on retainer in the practice squad. So that's one player that you can already rely on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also looking at probably there's more corners than safeties that are reliable in free agency that you can add to the bottom of a roster. So I don't think Hairston is in the same boat that Bishop was last year, though.
Yeah, it's not apples to oranges.
It is apples to oranges.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, it is apples to oranges.
I knew what you meant. It is, though, going to make it a little more difficult to keep things going for Hairston, which, I don't know. You'll see what happens. God, we need the regular season because Jordan Porter joining the practice squad had a bunch of people in a tizzy, us included. So, can we just get the real games now? Like this, these, what, 8 days?
Something nine like days? That. No, it's a little bit more. Well, we're at 9 days now until the opener.
To the Bills opener?
No, to the NFL opener. I think we're 13 days away
from. I thought we were 8 days from that because it's next Thursday.
Might be. I don't know. I've stopped keeping track. I know it's next Thursday is the season opener.
Anyway.
Next Sunday's the Bills opener.
Anyway, my point is this is a desert that we are now trying to get through to get to next week Sunday.
And I've mentioned it, though, a lot with the preseason. Yeah, you're a good team. So, again, the only things you could learn are probably bad things as a good team. You know, the defense doesn't look great. Oh, no, what's happening? Well, they're playing a very vanilla defense. It's a lot of backups. You know, the offense doesn't look great. Well, it's because their starting quarterback hasn't played at all for the preseason. There's only bad things you can learn. I will say, though, having looked at the schedule at least, you know, the first 6 weeks, because that's a big part for these guys and how they're going to kind of work the roster with the suspensions and the injury designations, outside of Baltimore, it is a really workable schedule. It is a really workable schedule. Baltimore sucks to start. I mean, it's going to be a great game, don't get me wrong, but in terms of the trust you have in the defense, Baltimore's not really the best opponent to start with. But you have a Jets team that is effectively starting over there in Glenn. I do like it, but we'll see. The Dolphins, I think they're going into a tailspin. The Saints might be the worst team in football. The Patriots have 8 receivers on their roster, and Falcons, who are unknown but could be very good, but that's also week 6. There's a good chance the roster looks very, very different. And so I think that is a nice soft underbelly after Baltimore to really figure out the roster, to really kind of understand where your strengths and weaknesses are. I think as well, too, for Cole Bishop, you'll kind of have an understanding of where he and Rapp are at as safeties after those 6 games. You'll have dealt with Baltimore, who's a very talented roster. By the way, as much as we talk about injuries, Zay Flowers did not play in that divisional round game. So they'll have him. They'll have their complement of weapons, both on offense and defense. Miami, of course, with Hill and Waddle. Falcons with Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. Like, you're going to have somewhat of an understanding on the defense, but you should probably beat 5 of those teams. At worst, be 4-2, realistically.
Right. At worst, be 4-2. And if you're at 3-3, things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worse than 3-3, a lot of things have happened. Bad things have happened.
Right.
So, again, this is the desert. We're so close yet so far away from the real thing happening here, to a point that, yeah, there was a little bit of an initial panic about Jordan Poyer potentially being on the 53 of this team. So now, I think I need to ask the question. What happens if they need that? Injuries happen to Rapp and Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fear bunker that I gave, but like, say enough has happened.
Yeah.
Or even like Hamlin, to where Poyer does have to be on the 53-man roster. Do we all just get back into that panic thing again? Or, like, is there a statute on when we're allowed to be upset about that? And I think ultimately the answer should be no. If you need him, that means that you have kind of failed the safety room this year.
I think a little bit.
Be it injury or underperformance.
I think a little bit. My problem is, though, is how much depth can you really expect at one position? Look at Detroit last year. They dealt with all those injuries. You can make it work for a little while, but eventually the injuries get
eventually
you.
Eventually it catches
there
up
there is such a thin line for a lot of these teams. It's why quarterback is so important. It's why that's kind of the only position that
that's why
that
I mentioned underperformance
everything.
In there too, though.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure
yes,
to say that.
Underperformance is one thing.
Underperformance is another thing about it. If it is injury, injuries are injuries. You have terrible luck. It's effectively rolling a nat one on a 20-sided die.
But so performance is one thing. Performance is, yeah, you failed.
Performance you is, you failed round, the safety room.
You had a second round pick last year. You didn't really add anything this year. There, yeah, you failed it. I mean, flat out. You had a lot to the D-line, but you maybe failed it with the safety room.
Right, and that the injuries is injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing to it. So I guess the context matters there. If Poyer does have to play, the question is why.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely right. The question is, why would he be playing? And I think that will play an important distinction in how we actually handle them going into, the draft or free agency.
If it's injuries, I'm suplexing the football gods.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. George is up first. George, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys, you're talking exactly what I want to hear. But you know what? You're in panic mode. The Bills have created, I'm not throwing stones at anybody in the front office, blah, blah, blah. The Bills have created this situation. You know, a hurricane, they got 4 or 5 days to evacuate. A tornado happens at night. We've got a hurricane that they didn't respond to, and now it's a tornado.
Are you talking like in terms of they should have done
defense,
something this?
Defense.
Yeah.
They should have. The defense, they're panicking at tackle, they're panicking at cornerback, they're not panicking at just safety. They're in big trouble. Defense, look at the LA game, the Rams game last year.
And then they added to the defense.
45-42.
Yeah, and then they added to the defense. I don't really understand the panicking, though. They added to needs.
Well, they're going to be in panic mode. This tells me they're in panic mode. They go out and get Poyer. Is he going to play with a cane?
Well, I mean, he's on the practice squad. It's extended practice squad, George. Thanks for the call. We're talking about if he has to play because he is on the practice squad, then it's panic mode. The Bills are.
But have to remember
the Bills.
Why.
I would argue are not in panic mode. They haven't added to the safety room as much as it seemed like McDermott was concerned. Sal mentioned it with us last segment. They felt really good about where Bishop's been the last 2 weeks. He looked better against Tampa Bay. Outright, McDermott mentioned they were looking for Rapp's partner, so they feel comfortable with Rapp.
Right.
They added to the defensive line room. T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker, in terms of rookie D tackles, had some of the best pressure rate percentages of any of the rookie defensive tackles. They
and
were
again,
two of the best.
We will get to why. If Poyer takes the field,
mm-hmm.
The context of why will have to be important in that anyway. I do think that is something to hold on to, because if it's underperformance from the current roster, then yes, what that phone call is absolutely you neglected it. And until then, we're not really getting there yet.
Yeah, but I don't think the Bills are in panic mode. I think fans are in somewhat panic mode because we're left in the dark. Again, the original tweet was just that Poyer's joining us. And it was like, well, why?
Right.
If he's on the 53-man roster, what the hell?
And that would be exactly to what that call would be.
But it's not that. He's going to the practice squad and their extended practice squads. And then also to point that out too, Schultz mentions Poyer wants to end his career. He wanted an opportunity to do that. It sounds much more like it is Poyer who wanted the return. And with the expanded practice squads, why not?
You can get away with a roster spot on the practice squad, not roster spot, a practice squad spot to get away with that like you did literally last year with the other of that safety tandem. And again, if and only if Poyer has to suit up in games, should we revisit this conversation, I guess, is the right way to say it.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Join Sal Capaccio and Matt Beauvais as they take their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, on the road to Signals on the Southwestern Boulevard in Irving this Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. You can stop by, grab some Paul's Donuts while supplies last, and also register for a chance to win some autographed merch courtesy of Signals. Enjoy 10 cents off a gallon of gas while you're there, too. Visit WGR550.com for more details.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. College football gets back in earnest tomorrow night, UB, Minnesota.
I am super excited for that game, actually.
That line, real quick, we'll get to your phones here in just a moment, but real quick, that line went from last week 16.5-point favorites for Minnesota, jumped up to 18.5, back down to 17.5.
Oh, the money's going back and forth.
And we can't do anything about it because we can't bet on New York State. College athletics. So that's always fun. That's always fun. Game is tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, FS1, and also over on the...
Get your out-of-state buddy.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
You can do a quick drive to Erie.
Yeah.
Just do a quick drive.
Quick drive to Erie.
Krispy Kreme, do a little Yui, and head back. There you go.
Those donuts are always so fluffy.
It's not a bad day. 803-0550, the number to call. And let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tim is up next. Tim, how we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that I think that before, you know, when I originally saw the post about him coming back, I, like many others, was really worried about what that meant. But that clarity coming very, very quickly about him going to the 53-man roster, like, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think that people kind of get on Bean sometimes about, you know, the lack of, you know, figuring out certain positions. But to, like you guys said about 20, 30 minutes ago, the man has tried. You know, he threw Mike Edwards at the position. He threw, you know, Forrest Jr. at the position. And ultimately, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Those moves just didn't work out. And I have no problem with them bringing Poyer in, only for the simple fact of I really, of course, we all don't want to see it get to the having him play games. But to be honest with you, I really think it just kind of raises the floor of the room. And that's kind of what good teams have to do, because ultimately the nature of football is injuries are going to happen. And to be honest with you, I mean, call me crazy, but there's a lot of times where I was watching DeMar Hamlin play this preseason, and I was very, very unimpressed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they had figured out that position, I don't even think that he would be on the 53-man. So I have no problems with the move. I'm sure you guys are going to take some heat cases today about, you know, it seems like sometimes this team takes two step forward, one step back by bringing some of these guys. I just think it's ultimately Bean trying to raise the floor of certain position groups, and I have no problem with it, honestly, guys. Thanks.
Tim, thanks for the call.
Tim, what do you mean? The last caller was just fine, right?
Right. I think that's the right way to look at it, though.
Thank you for the call, by the way, Tim.
Trying to raise the floor and stuff like that. And that's also where I was sitting. I mean, before we got the full context, it was, what the hell are they doing? What is going on? I'll also say with Bean, too, and I give him a lot of flack, especially for the drafts.
There were a lot of those initial reactions, like mm-hmm. Tim said on that call just now. Like, and it was not exempt for a lot of people. Like, the first you heard about it, you're like, A, where did this come from? And B, what?
What and why?
And then the third question is why? And then it comes out about 20 minutes later. He's a practice squad addition. And a lot of people now have, at worst, backed off.
It's become boring.
It actually,
in a way.
Yeah, you're right.
It's continued the Bills trend of this offseason, it's incredibly boring.
For the sake of content, it did kind of take the fanfare away. Mm. But also, I'm thankful for it, because I didn't need to have everyone losing their minds for 24 hours, myself included.
No, like with Phillips, where it took a little while to understand what was going on there. So it was like, is Dwayne Carter getting moved? Are they really moving off a third-round pick from last year?
Right.
What is going on? I will say, and real quick on this, because we got to hit another timeout, but with Brandon Bean, I give him a lot of flack, especially with the drafting, and it does seem to be he goes safe with certain positions, edge rusher. They've tried a lot there, but they don't really go for any big moves there. It's a lot of safe safe picks, quote-unquote high floors, and even that kind of ends up being not really true. But drafting is an ebb and flow kind of business. You hope you get one right early so that you can keep your job and keep going. I think Howie Roseman might be the best general manager in the sport, and he went 2 years of having Andre Dillard and Jalen Reagor as their...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First round picks. I don't think either are in the league anymore. At least Rager is basically an afterthought, and he was taken right before Justin Jefferson. Andre Dillard, I know for a fact, is not in the league anymore. You will miss some. You'll also hit some. You hope you just have the length of a career to do that. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to jump on the show, give your thoughts on the Bills' initial 53-man roster, or Jordan Poyer joining the Bills on the practice squad. Love to hear from you. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Our number two here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
There you go. Now you sound a little better.
A little bit better. Again, it's just like I was like, ooh, we got something here. It's a little spicy. I'm a little irritated. Oh, and it's gone. It's gone. I'm on edge, Derek. I'm on edge.
You got your Tums in your Tums?
No, no.
Your Tums in your Tum Tum?
No, I am just riding this out. I am completely
like, metaphorically.
On edge. Oh yeah, yeah.
Metaphorically, your Tums have settled into your Tum Tum. You're good to go now.
I guess.
Like you gave it a little bit more of the good morning, you know. Like,
I did. Saturday's just gonna be a wreck for me. The longer this week goes on, I am just on edge.
For those that don't know, Zach is a huge Texas fan, and the Longhorns are taking on Ohio State. And just to add more misery to misery, he has a fantasy football draft that night, too.
Oh, that afternoon. It's in the middle of the game.
Oh,
it's in the middle of the game.
So it's all in the same time period, which means you're going to end up like taking Brian Robinson instead of Bijan, like that one guy on the video that circulated.
That's right.
You're going to be like so not focused, you're going to be like, Did Arch throw his second touchdown pass or not? Come on. Like, oh, it's my turn to pick? Yeah, whatever, this guy. And the next thing you know, you have Gabe Davis.
I'm drafting Steve Young. I've been watching the Cowboys documentary.
It's got to be a selectable player, though. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, that's right.
So I got to keep it somewhat relevant here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's where we're hitting Jalen Reagor then.
Yeah.
Jalen Rager's on the mind. He's going on the board. We're going to throw a Ryan Wingo in there. Not even in the NFL
yet. Can't run a route. His routes are terrible. Paul Allen's a gem.
803-0550, the number two call. Speaking of the Vikings, Paul Allen.
Yeah, there you go.
Another one of those teams that had their reunions on that. Adam Thielen, that felt like a reunion we all knew was coming.
We all knew it was coming, but also I didn't expect them to have to trade as much as they did to do that.
A 4th and 27, I believe, and then a 5th and 26.
But Carolina probably also knew. Minnesota probably wanted him. Therefore, let's just make sure that we hold on and see what kind of value we get.
Their wide receiver room.
Carolina's interesting though.
It's young.
It's very young.
McMillan is 22 and a rookie. Leggett, 24 in his second year. Jalen Coker, 23. Jimmy Horn Jr. is a rookie, 22.
And Jalen Coker's emergence is why they even thought to be able to dish Thielen in the first place. But now for Minnesota, though, this is a big deal in a different sense. I do still want to make fun of the fact that everyone's playing Reunion Tour right now.
Mm-hmm. It is fun.
So it is funny. I do need to make that. I can't be hard on the Bills and then also go, oh, it's perfectly fine that the Vikings traded for a 35-year-old receiver.
They should bring back Leotis McKelvin. Just bring him back. They need help at corner and return.
803-0550. Who else are the Bills adding to the practice squad?
Leotis. Kidding. Get him in.
Kidding.
What's Bruce up to?
But I will say, in a different sense, maybe even in the same sense, as to why the Bills brought Poyer back, Thielen going to Minnesota for a young J.J. McCarthy who's effectively a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Thielen's cooked, it's not the worst thing in the world, question mark?
Well, it's not the worst thing because you've got the Jordan Addison suspension, first three games, mm-hmm. and then you had Jalen Naylor go out for a second straight year with a season-ending knee injury. I mean, I talk about depth being tested.
Oh, so they actually just need depth at wide receiver.
No, I mean, that's where I talked about them for a while. It's like a potential Curtis Samuel-type trade is because they may need to add somebody. And you mentioned it, J.J. McCarthy, rookie year, effectively. They're going to have to know early if he's got it. And it kind of sucks that, you know, Addison might be one of the best number twos in the league, along with Justin Jefferson. They have T.J. Hockenson. But you want to put him in the best situation possible. I don't know their schedule in and out, so I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a grind for them early, but they got to find it out early. But that's your depth being tested right there, both suspensions and injuries. Thielen, I just get worried. I know he had a good end of last year. He's 35, though.
That's where I want to get to, and we
talk wide receivers hitting a wall at 30, Terry McLaurin. I get he's cheap, don't get me wrong. But that wall is going to hit you out of nowhere. And 35 for a receiver feels like it's not out of nowhere. And you kind of know what's coming.
And now, though, you just hope you get a couple weeks out of it so that you get Addison back and you're good to go.
And you roll from there.
That's probably what their basis of thinking is on this one. I don't know. Maybe it's a different basis of thinking. I don't know. But, yes, I don't love the idea of paying an asset for someone that is probably not going to be a season-long investment for you. If that.
No, but for Carolina, though, for a team.
Good for them. Good business.
Yeah, I don't want to say that they're, totally talent deficient. Because I kind of like some of the young guys they have.
I'm intrigued by the Panthers this year. I really am.
I think especially because if Bryce Young takes a step forward. But for them to get a fourth and a fifth this year and a fourth for next year, that's where if you hit, we talk about it with the Bills all the time. That's where they build out their roster. It's where they get some of their surprising players is later on in the draft. And I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily the exact same for Carolina. But do they maybe get a starting right tackle in the fourth or starting cornerback in the fourth, something like that? I mean, that could really help them out. And you do it trading a 35-year-old wide receiver. It's pretty darn good business. Although I will say, and I saw a tweet from Ollie Conley who talked about this, Thielen, though, was the only receiver on the roster that Bryce Young had genuine chemistry with, and that might be a problem. But the early signs from Tet McMillan is that might develop very, very quickly. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Rich is up next. Rich, how are we doing?
Not bad, guys, not bad. You know, going with Poyer, yeah, scary. You know, can he keep up physically? Does he have the speed to keep up? I mean, as far as Miami, it had to be weird not playing along Hyde. It had to be weird playing in Miami when you're a Bill, I mean, did that impact his play last year? I mean, he knows Buffalo's defense and, you know, think, you know, Hamlin, he's weak, you know, thank God he recovered from his injury, but he's not a starting safety. He's not, I don't know. I don't know what else is out there. Just thinking outside the box and wondering if obviously they had to physically test Poyer before they signed him to make sure, to see how much can he keep up with him.
Right.
You know, guy getting past him. You know, I don't know. God help us. I don't want to get beat in 13 seconds because someone gets past the deep guy again.
Yeah, Rich, I get that. I will say he is on the practice squad. He's not going to be on the 53-man roster, at least to start. That is the report, is that he's going to be signing with the practice squad. I will say in terms of, it had to have been weird playing with Miami. I've mentioned it. I've been watching the America's Team, the gambler and his quarterback. It's about the 90s Cowboys. I think it's legitimately a really good documentary. I do recommend it to anyone, even if you're a Bills fan. The Bills do play heavily in one of the episodes. Jim Kelly's interviewed and stuff like that. It really, really well done. But, you know, funny that the caller mentions, you know, it had to have been weird playing for a division rival. The last episode I just watched, it's essentially about the ending. Michael Irvin's career-ending neck injury, Troy Aikman retiring, you know, a lot of it due to concussions. But the last of the triplets is Emmitt Smith, and he goes on to Arizona. And in his first year, they come back to Dallas. They come back to Texas Stadium. And Emmitt talks about how he walked into that locker room, or walked into Texas Stadium and walked into the away locker room for the first time and broke down in tears. Because, like, this is not where I belong. This is not how this is supposed to go. So he finished out his contract. It was 2 years with Arizona and then signed a day contract with Dallas and retired. He's like, I can't separate football and the Dallas Cowboys. I can't just keep playing the game. And I'm not saying Poyer had, you know, the same reaction, but maybe he did. He only signed a one-year contract. I mean, he wasn't particularly good as well. He's 34. The speed is gone. He is here on the practice squad. But it's interesting that Rich brings that up. And I just watched something on that with Emmitt Smith talking about it and how he thought he could separate football and the Cowboys and just go on, play the rest of his career, you know, rise higher in the all-time rushing leaders. And he really couldn't. He finished up his two-year contract and was done. And he realized it during his first year when he went back to Texas Stadium. He could not do this anymore, not on the Cowboys, not with his guys.
And the other interesting part that call did, though, was you do have to pass some sort of physical in order to make the practice squad, right? Because
yeah, it's not necessarily testing his speed. It's just more, can you pass an NFL physical?
But also, they never signed Gabe Davis.
I don't think – I have no insider information. I don't think Gabe Davis is healthy. I think that's the biggest issue, is that he's still not healthy.
That's probably where we're sitting at with that is
– Pittsburgh just cut Robert Woods as well, and they didn't sign Gabe Davis. They have no answer at number 2 wide receiver.
Bill, sign Robert Woods.
Oh, boy. Actually, I like Bobby Woods when he was here. In all seriousness,
I do.
I really liked Robert Woods when he was here.
When he was a Bill, it was awesome. When he was a Ram, he was awesome. And then the injury happened.
Great as a Ram.
Actually, and the injury happens, and he's obviously not the same at that point anymore. I just think that just to play in the meme right now of the Bills going back to the well, yes, bring back Bobby Trees. I'm kidding.
But yeah, on the Gabe Davis thing, I think it is
Gabe Davis. But that's what I just thought of that during that call too. Of you bring up the fact that it was a different locker room, and I bring in they kicked the tires on Gabe Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That man didn't sign here, and there is a central message to going back to the well. And again, we're seeing tons of teams doing it right now, so maybe it's not as hyper focused as it should be. But I also don't love the fact that they have to keep going back to the well overall, even if it's for practice squad signings, like Jordan Phillips even. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that is something that may still need to happen with this team. And how deep is a roster really? Injuries, you mm-hmm. want to make sure of that. You mentioned the college roster size versus a pro roster size. It is funny, though, to see that Phillips is here for, what, the 6th time?
I think it's only 4. I think it's only 4. Still a lot. It's still a lot.
A good amount of time. And yet, it should have gotten the same reaction, I guess, is what I want to say about that. But it's because people are more scared about Cole Bishop
mm-hmm.
that reaction becomes a little bit more heated.
He's an entirely unknown player.
Right. And it's because of the fact that he's not relatively known. Even though the last time I saw him, he looked fast. And that's exactly what I wanted out of him. I didn't need him to look good. I needed him to look fast. And he was both. And yeah, it's against backups for Tampa Bay. I understand that. But when the Bears were playing their starters, it just wasn't really that much on a different level.
Well, I look at it because I mentioned it with Deion Walker. You know, a positive you can take from preseason is, do my starters look like they don't belong with backups? Michael Hoyt. It's
right.
Why, like, I've started talking about him more. He looked really good in the preseason because he looked like he didn't belong with backups. He looks like, yeah, after his suspension, he will be a focal point of their defensive line. Deion Walker was sort of the same thing, that against backups, it looked like a man amongst boys
at times.
He was
bullying them, yeah.
He looked like a backyard bully.
And Bishop had plays like that in that game as well. Like, I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially with that coming 1 week after, oh, God, what are we doing at safety? But the problem with that is also, oh God, what are we doing at safety? Was still only 2 weeks ago. It's mm-hmm. fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh God, what are we doing at safety? What do you mean we just signed Poyer? Like, that suddenly becomes the answer to your fearful question.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, and to be perfectly honest, it's not somebody, because if he did sign to the 53, I think there's also the wondering of, well, why wasn't it Justin Simmons? Who's right? a name that's been thrown around a lot. Now, again, of course, we do now have the reports. It's a practice squad signing. But at the time, that's where you do get into
that
they're addicted to going back to the well. Why do they keep doing it? You could have gotten this guy and that guy and what have you. Again, ultimately, it's a practice squad signing. There's a really good chance he's kind of just here because of the expanded practice squad as a mentorship role to the young guys. That also does not necessarily mean that Bishop is not picking things up and he needs another mentor. It could just be it's another good guy to have in the locker room.
He might Trey just White be back for the vibes.
Yeah, could just be that. He wants to retire a Bill. They've got a spot on the roster. Why not? You know, Trey White, another thing for him has also been he might be a really good mentor for some of the young corners. Obviously, Max Harrison being one of them, but Dorian Strong's another. Even Jordan Hancock, Hancock might also be another kind of key piece of this. Sal has him listed at safety in his breakdown of the 53-man roster. Doesn't have to necessarily just be Cole Bishop that needs a mentor.
And it will be also, it does help though in Trey White's case,
mm-hmm.
though, he was holding his own in a competition to start camp.
Yeah.
Which is also a promising thing. Jordan Poyer can come back on the field and suddenly have a step back. Like, he can regain one of those steps back. And it's like, okay, cool. I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I
got the end of the Bills season where he played through 13 injuries probably. And then in Miami where he just looks a step behind. Is it fun to think about that? Yeah, there's a small part of my brain that'd mm-hmm. be like, yeah, maybe it was Miami.
Yeah, it'd be storybook. And then, yeah, of course, you'd have like the extra bonus of like, it's just Miami's defense.
Just laugh at Miami.
But he's also 34 and has dealt with right. a lot of injuries in his career. And he wasn't necessarily the first round athlete kind of deal either.
That last year in Buffalo, he fought through it. He was put through the gamut.
Was that the year he drove to Kansas City
yes.
because of an injury? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he was really, it was the tenacity of his that kept things together because Hyde was no longer in the lineup. Remember.
Yep.
It was Poyer. And if Poyer missed a game, they would lose. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's been a thing about their safety room, too, is it's been a few years now where they're just not able to have the consistent play, whether it be the end of Poyer and Hyde, injuries, and guys just not being able to be there. And now these last 2 years, we're going into year two, but last mm-hmm. year it was – okay, Rapp, we're sort of finding out, well, he could be a starter, is not necessarily the perfect heir apparent that maybe you thought he was when he first came up from the Rams. Hamlin is, at best, quality depth, but depth you don't necessarily want to go to. Wonderful story, you're happy for him, but not necessarily the depth you want to go to. They've tried replacing him, I'd argue, twice
yep.
with Edwards and Forrest, and that's where I should have brought that up at the last call that brought that up. Look, it's somewhat commendable that they have tried to replace it. It is also something, though, that in those attempts to replace it, the guys couldn't even make the 53-man roster. It wasn't just that they're okay, but we can do better. It was they literally didn't even get on the Bills opening day roster in both Mike Edwards and Derek Forrest. And that is a miss.
That is a miss.
Just flat out, that's a miss.
If you're trying to find depth that can challenge DeMar Hamlin and it's not getting that done, and Hamlin is a fine backup,
mm-hmm.
but he's a replacement level player. And you're having a problem replacing a replacement level player.
It's one of those things like Jamarcus Ingram. Has his game in Miami last year. Two interceptions, one's a pick six. Looks incredible. He's got to play 17 games.
It's going to
very quickly, you're going to have people going, he sucks.
It's going to end up a different story.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely.
Yeah, with Hamlin, he's got to play one or two games due to injury. Can make plays for you. Replacement level, he's good. He's an NFL player. He's got to play 17 games for you. It's an entirely different story. It's the same with backup quarterbacks. A backup quarterback can have a good game or two. They play 17, it's a different story.
There's a difference between playing 12 snaps and 12 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Mike's with us next. Mike, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Something really hit the head. I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and there was a caller that called in and was talking about 13 seconds and, a lot of frustration from the fan base. That's where that comes from, right? And just of us not having success getting to the Super Bowl the last couple of years. so we can be kind of hard on Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. So I'm trying to take a positive outlook, right? Jordan Poyer, it's not ideal. Our secondary is, when I initially look at it, I think it's cooked. But, you know, from we're not seeing what Sean McDermott's seeing in practice, right? And he keeps saying Cole, it's not a lot of confidence in him right now. So I don't necessarily know if it's good us seeing Jordan Poyer play on the field, but there's a lot of complex at the safety position out of Sean McDermott's defense. So look, I'm looking at two ways. Do I want to see Jordan Poyer on the field? No. But at the same time, I just don't know if Cole is just not really understanding what Sean McDermott and them want him to do as a player. I'm kind of stuck in the middle. I want to stay positive. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm where I'm at it with a lot of the fan base is like, we don't have much time left, right? Like Josh Williams in this window and we got to go. So I'm trying to have like a positive outlook on this. But at the same time, like the room for error, the seat's getting hot, man.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you, man. Thanks for the call. I hate taking this route because it comes off as, I guess, a little entitled. Like, I am running out of patience. I want them to stay the course, but I am running out of patience. And the thing that burns this offseason, I've joked it, it's been boring, right? I mean, for the most part, like even their Holden was relatively boring. Like, James Cook, it was the least contentious of all of them.
Yeah, it was a Holden, but it was also, we all know where it's going to go at the end of the day, which is James Cook's going to play game one. What we didn't see coming was that an actual extension was done.
Right. And so for me, like with this season or this offseason, what's been frustrating is they nailed, it seems like, I should preface that. We don't know for sure. It seems like they nailed adding to the defensive line. Deion Walker and TJ Sanders look like they've been great hits. Awesome. That works. Your linebacker room. We haven't been able to really talk about Matt Milano looking back, very much back, with Terrell Bernard. We have not seen those two play together for more than like three games in a year. That could be really exciting. But where do they spend their first round pick? They knew they needed a corner too. They go get Maxwell Harrison. Fantastic. He picks up an injury right away. And it's an LCL sprain that's going to keep him out for a while. And then you look to the secondary room, or you look to the safety room, excuse me. Safety, we're still kind of unsure. Let's see about Cole Bishop. Okay, like he's starting camp off good. Like he's there. Like my big thing before camp was I need to know he is starting safety day one or they've got a problem. He's starting safety day one, and then he picks up an injury. And so it's two of the areas that you knew you needed to be better at that are the biggest question marks going into week one.
And yet easily. At the same time, what can you change in that is also the problem. What can you change? Because the thing is, you made the pick, you addressed the need.
Mm-hmm.
And the player picks up an injury, a thing that you don't get to look into and look out for. Otherwise, then you're spending too many assets on the same position.
Yeah.
The luck part of it really does have something to do with it because it's also the only time that the Bills have brought in with this regime a defensive end and a pass rusher that actually would have been able to make a difference. The big-time pass rusher, Von Miller, everyone still thought that it might have been for too much money, but you paid for the all-in push. And through the first half of that first season, he looks the part.
Yeah, very much looks the
part. And then the variable that you cannot account for happens. Luck. And then it becomes an albatross. But that's the first time I saw this regime even land a defensive end that can make an impact.
You hope now Rousseau is taking that step that he's going to be the guy.
And you hope that Bosa can be that for a year as well.
But you're right. Like outside of Von Miller, it's been a lot of, They missed again there. They missed again. You know, this guy's okay. Epinesa.
Back-to-back years of Epinesa and Basham.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's, for me, that's where it burns, is that at times they've nailed it, at times they haven't. They have not been able to completely come together.
And some of the variables, though, are bad injury luck.
Mm-hmm. Where, and to be fair, this year going to camp, it actually felt like maybe it was this year. Going into camp, the worry was, did they get enough wide receivers? It really wasn't even about cornerback or safety. Because if Bishop was starting, okay, they're going to roll with him and wrap. Great. Corner, it's going to be maybe Max Harrison, but Trey White looks really good in camp. That's not a problem to have then. Great. but now at the end of camp, because of injuries picked up during the practice portion, the actual getting ready for the season portion, it may hamstring them, though. But I will say, and the positive for me, they're as good as you can take them to the bank. They're going to win at least 11 games this year. They will probably win the AFC East quite comfortably. I care how they look in December and January. If that means Cole Bishop struggles a little bit in the first few weeks, maybe gets beat up a little bit in Baltimore, but ultimately by November, he's really figured it out. Max Hairston's ready to go by November, December. Then so be it.
It is the interesting double-edged sword of saying that you're running out of patience, but also indirectly preaching patience.
Well, I'm running out of patience in the postseason.
Right.
And this is where I
that's where it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You are running out of patience, but you're also kind of also preaching it.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that you're like –
I have become the fan. I have to remind myself constantly to enjoy the regular season.
I will say –
I have to constantly remind myself.
It's not saying you want your you want to have your cake and eat it too. So I'm not like – I'm not
– No, yeah.
Pooping on the strategy here for you. It's more or less – it's something that we might actually need to do. It's a fine balance. Like, yes, you can be allowed to be running out of patience. But also at the start of this season – there might need to be some patience, which is weird. It is weird.
It's for me, it's just like I said, like there is, you can take them to the bank. They're going to be fine in the regular season. They may not get the one seed, and that's its own frustration, but they'll be in the dance and they'll probably win a wild card game no matter what.
Yep.
It comes down to the divisional round of the conference championship. That's where, like, for me, the patience is run thin. And that's where the last few years, the one seed has hurt them with injuries, or they just don't come in a good spot, whether it be to off the field or on the field issues. It's just like, that's where I'm running out of patience. The regular season for them should be what the Patriots used it for years, or at least the first 4 weeks, which is, that's effectively our preseason. That's where our starters are figuring it out.
Would you like to sign up for your trial of WinRAR?
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
You know, I think there's a lot of guys that you could talk about, but I think, you know, Sean Dolak's a guy that personifies really, hey, you know, we're going to evaluate, you know, who we think is the best players, and doesn't matter whether you were drafted, what your salary is, we're going to try to do it. And it doesn't mean that we make all the right decisions, but we do try to be able to have honest evaluations and do what's best for the collective. And I think he's a great example. I don't know that I'd say I was shocked, because there was a lot of appreciation for him coming in as an undrafted free agent, but I think it's a good representation of everything is going to be earned, and he was a guy that earned a spot.
That is Rams head coach Sean McVay talking about former UB linebacker Sean Dolak making the Rams 53-man roster as an undrafted free agent, beating out Poo Paul, Chris Paul Jr., to do so, who was a fifth-round pick this year.
Who was a Bills pre-draft visit, by the way.
He was.
So I'd imagine Dolak was as well. It just didn't account to their official 30 because
correct,
area,
it's local, yeah.
Local area, you get to do that for free. Now, I love this, though. Absolutely love this for three entities. I love this for Sean Dolak because of the fact that you have another story like this where you have another UB product making a 53-man roster, second straight year where an undrafted UB linebacker has done so, and a local product within the region as well. So I love this for Sean Dolak. Two, I love this for Red Murdoch.
Yeah.
Because Murdoch has an athletic profile as well that will probably be more keen on teams actually having a draft radar on him. But now you've also seen two straight years now that a UB undrafted linebacker has made an NFL 53-man roster, and you think, oh, there's going to be another one of these? You're probably actually going to see a team invest a draft pick now in a UB linebacker. Murdoch also, number 90 in college football's top 100 on ESPN.
And I'm glad you bring that point up, because I think it's also, there's now eyeballs.
There's eyeballs on the program.
There's a known entity there. Murdoch was already first team All-Mac last year along with Dolak. I was talking with Pat Moran yesterday on Twitter, and he mentioned, I didn't know for sure because I don't totally cover the team. I'm not 100%, so I don't want to outright just say it. But there's a feeling around the program, Murdoch might be the best of the three.
Murdoch might be the best of three, and he's probably going to get drafted simply because of the success of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, say he doesn't have a great season this year. That doesn't mean a team's not going to spend a fifth or a sixth round pick on him at that point. Like,
no, he's 6'1", 240 and a great athlete.
But you've seen now UB is making noise with their linebackers. So teams do this. They go, oh, there's clearly a pattern here.
Oh, they scout the helmet.
Yeah.
They scout the helmet.
Teams scout the helmet, too.
You may not want to. It's human nature. You will do it.
Yes. But, like, say Murdoch doesn't have a great season. Some team's going to throw a late-round pick at him anyway. Which then leads me to number three. Love this for UB football, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you are starting to see a little bit of consistency from a program about, hey, we're dialing up linebackers. In the NIL era, go ahead and tell me that you don't have an idea for a kid that can't crack the Texas starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, NFL teams are looking at us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For linebackers, you can't crack Texas. You can crack ours.
Or yeah, I mean, like,
and you can help us win a MAC, baby, and we can help you get drafted,
we'll,
brother.
We'll get you starting time. And I also look at it too. And this is, I was having a fun conversation yesterday with the bullpen in the afternoon show, just talking about you know, college football, the transfer portal, all that.
As they're accusing me of what car I drive.
Exactly. You actually don't want to overdo the transfer portal. The best teams do bring in their own talent. You recruit out of high school. You build people in your own program. That's actually a big get for UB to keep Murdoch. He's been there since 22. He is a UB product for them right out of high school. It's massive for them. Where Andreessen, and Andreessen was, you know, he comes over from a few years at the FCS level. But you don't want to overdo it, but that will be something that UB can point to of like, yeah, but the guys we go for are going to be guys that couldn't crack it at Penn State or Ohio State, Michigan, or the ACC region. They may not go all the way to Texas, but within their region, right. And can, yeah, bring them in and be like, hey, you're here for 2 years. We'll get you to the NFL. Or
I just saw the hat, really. That's all it was.
Totally get it. I also look at it this way, and I know some people will not like this. Sacrifice a little bit of your pride. Be okay in recruiting a kid and having your best recruiting pitch be, we'll get you to Ohio State or Penn State in 2 years. We will get you to the major program that can get you drafted in the first or second round, and we'll help build you up to that point. I also don't think that's a bad way to do it at all.
Or just have the intestinal fortitude to be like, we're the new linebacker, you kid, get over here.
Right, that also could be it. It's just use that you're going to have likely three straight linebackers make 53-man rosters and stick in the NFL. Murdoch is sounding like
look out, Penn State. Here comes UB football, baby.
That's right, Penn State. Jim Kelly, they want him as a linebacker. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Bob is with us next. Bob, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, guys. How are you?
Good.
I don't understand all the anxiety over signing Jordan Poyer. I think it's a brilliant move by Bean. I mean, you've got Micah Hyde all over again. You've got a guy who is the heart and soul of this team for 7 years, so you know he's going to be a great influence in the locker room, a great voice in the locker room. And if he can't play anymore, he'll prove to be an ideal mentor for Hancock and Bishop. I mean, who would you rather have mentoring those guys than Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde? So I think worst case scenario, it's going to work in the locker room. What's he replacing? He's replacing the 16th guy in the practice squad who's never going to play anyway.
Right. No, that's absolutely right, Bob. Mm-hmm. I will say, now, thanks for the call.
There was 20 minutes of hysteria.
Yeah, that was all the freak out, honestly, because everything you're saying is correct. He'd be a great mentor for them. Him and Hyde knew the system. I think Hyde's the one that even Alred said it took him 2 years to fully understand the system. So you're right. There's no better players than those two. The problem was for 20 minutes, it was like, oh, no, are they bringing him onto the active roster? He could not play for Miami last year. He is 34 years old, and he had lost a step. I argue his hit on Keon Coleman wasn't a dirty play. It was him genuinely being too slow, but knowing to make the play. I go back to the Ray Lewis quote that I heard years ago. I think it was on like those documentaries for like the Super Bowl teams that they used to do on NFL Network. I think it was for that 2012 team.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions it. You know, just when you could do everything mentally upstairs, you knew everything that people were going to throw at you, your body stops working. Your body cannot catch up to the mind anymore. It's where also you've seen a lot of quarterbacks actually have some of their better years right at the end of their career, right before the waterfall, because now they've seen everything. They've been in the league 12, 15 years. And so for like a three-year run there, they know every – Rodgers wins, what, two or three of his MVPs in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning has maybe the greatest quarterbacking season of all time. He cannot feel his fingertips in his right hand when he throws the ball. Tom Brady, we kind of actually never see him hit the waterfall. He just kind of walks out.
Well,
once Tampa's team isn't really great. But in terms of we've seen Rodgers be bad. We saw Peyton Manning be a non-starter. Brady, we never totally got to see that.
We did. That last season, he was not.
Well, he's not the same, but it was not that he was a bad quarterback. We saw Manning become a bad quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so, like, quarterbacks, they've almost gotten that added bonus of staying healthy. You actually see those years happen.
Yes.
Of, oh, the game is literally at a snail's pace for them. It's not the same for your average player. There's probably receivers out there.
There are Adam higher Thielen, athletic profiles.
Yeah. Adam Thielen might be one of these receivers now at 35 going, I could be the best receiver in the NFL right now with my mind and a 25-year-old body. But I'm 35 years old. I can't do it anymore.
You play more cerebral at that point. You look for spots. Like, later day Cole Beasley.
Absolutely. Yep.
Cole Beasley was always that guy. Like, he was the cerebral type anyway. Like, you don't have the biggest athletic profile, but how do you stay ahead? You stay smart.
You know where the soft spots in the defense are.
You know where the soft spots are.
You've done this in and out year after year after year. You know right. What you're doing.
But again, a position player takes more abuse than the quarterback does. That's why quarterbacks do play much longer into careers.
It's now become very standard to see a quarterback playing at a high level at 35 years old.
And especially because the rules protect them more than the skill position.
Yep.
Or, by God, the lineman.
Yeah. So it's I agree with the caller's point though. Like it's good for the locker room. It's probably good for a mentorship role. It does not necessarily have to mean that Cole Bishop's not picking up the defense by any means. It could just be dotting the I's, crossing the T's. That's never a bad thing to do. And when you have that additional practice squad spot, and as the caller mentioned, 16th on the practice squad, that guy wasn't going to play anyways. You don't necessarily have to have a feel good story. The guy wasn't going to play, so why not bring in a guy that can help out the 53 man roster with years of experience? I think that's fully right. But for 20 minutes there, there was a genuine wonder.
For 20 minutes there, there was some panic going on.
It was Jordan Phillips in a much smaller containment. Because we just did this with Phillips because it was wondering, man, are they moving on from Dwayne Carter? He was a third-round pick last year. What is going on? Does this mean they're done with Daquan Jones? That was really the big issue. I think most agree. If it's just for the mentorship role, you know, break glass in case of emergency kind of idea, fine. If it was going to be, we're terrified of our current starting safeties, we're going to bring in 34-year-old Jordan Poyer to be on the 53, that's an entirely different conversation. And there were genuine fears that might be the conversation.
And who knows? Maybe there's an alternate universe out there right now where, like, 3 or 4 weeks from now, they are doing this, and then we are all freaking out again.
But that's from 6 weeks.
Or maybe that's the universe that we are right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's ours. I don't know. But also, there's at least one universe out there that is going to have this freakout return. Let me have my fun with alternate timelines, people. Thanks.
Real quick, before we take our next timeout, I do want to mention Adam Schefter about a minute ago did tweet out the NFL is aiming for at least a potential 6-game suspension for Chiefs wide receiver Rashi Rice for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Source tells ESPN the suspension would kick in at the start of the season. He is having his hearing, though, with the NFL in like late September. But if Schefter is right, I mean, they might want to just get the suspension done and over with and then meet with him.
I would say the NFLPA might be able to try to knock that down. Oh, wait, they can't even figure themselves out right now.
Yeah, you've mentioned that with the Micah Parsons stuff of like, yeah, it's in kind of in tatters. You're sort of on your own or you're on an island. I also will say at least 6-game suspension. Felt like not long ago most people were talking about a 4-game suspension for him.
Right.
6 being the limit.
But now that's if the NFL's aiming high, typically you have a PA going lower and you meet in the middle and it probably ends up at 4. But right now I can't bank on the NFL PA doing anything for their players.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, and I want to remind you, Sal Capaccio and Matt Bovay are taking It's Always Game Day in Buffalo on the road to the BFLO store. Join them Wednesday, September 3rd at 6:30 at the BFLO's Transitown Plaza Williamsville location. Be part of the live audience, hear their takes on the season ahead, and gear up for game day when you shop their massive selection of Buffalo Bills gear, including BFLO's own tailgate collection. Get all the details now at WGR550.com, and we'll see you September 3rd at the BFLO store, official retailer of the Buffalo Bills.
Permission to bring up a heinous topic for the end of the show?
The opposite of the Buffalo Bills, yes.
So, I'm so ready to be back and to get hurt again. We're talking about reunions, ex-players, all this other stuff. And casually, Jay Fresh Hockey, a lot of projections, stuff like that, analytics. But a lot with the projections, the model projections, everything like that. He comes out with his NHL standing projections this year. And over the last couple of years, when we thought that the Sabres had some promise, they've been outside of the playoffs on these exact projections.
Yeah, he's usually stamped it out.
He's usually stamped it out, and then it's, oh, okay, it was actually hell that was awaiting us. This year, Jay Fresh and his standing projections have the Buffalo honest-to-goodness Sabres making the postseason and breaking the playoff drought. I'm so back. It's the worst quality about me.
It'll be fun. I need I'm going to need like a full week before the season starts to just prepare myself.
I hated the off season that happened, and I'm still going to be back and ready to be hurt again. It's my toxic trait.
We're only a few weeks away from them getting underway, aren't we?
Preseason and training camp coming back in September.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that
to be mid to late September though.
See, I like hockey's preseason though. It's quick.
Everyone plays.
Bada bing, bada boom, everyone plays. Let's go. All right, 2 weeks later we're playing. And there isn't even this week that we have to deal with the NFL, where like it's going to be this kind of soft launch where it's like everyone's like anticipation's like ready to go. And they're like, no. We're going to have college their week. Then we'll start going, which as a college football fan, I love. But also as someone that does this, why?
This is also the desert.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's the desert. And I would argue this week of sports is maybe worse than the All-Star break for baseball, because at least with that, you kind of know this is all you have. And we're a few months off from other sports really getting going. This week, you got a little bit of taste with college football. You got a single Saturday. And now you got to wait from that Saturday till Thursday for anything else. There wasn't even preseason games on Sunday. You know, everything was done by Saturday.
And To go back to the main reason I wanted to bring this up, like maybe it's because of the weather. Like it's all 70s this week. It's perfect.
It's been really nice, actually.
It's perfect.
We've had a little bit of rain, but it's been nice.
And then we get hockey standings projections.
It'd be nice.
Even if
they're just relevant the entire year.
It's the ultimate. I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm ready to get hurt again.
I don't know if I'm totally there yet. I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm already living there with Texas.
I'm always getting hurt again, Zach. That's the key.
We've had a fun day today getting connected with our fans. When we do that, of course, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And today's show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek, we will not be in tomorrow when UB gets their season underway.
But we get to react
Minnesota.
To it.
We'll react to it. 17.5 point favorites. How you feeling? Or 17.5 point dog, excuse me. How you feeling?
Am I allowed to also say? Oh no, they have their own saying. Horns up.
Horns up, there you go.
UB horns up.
Feeling pretty good. Feeling all right.
I like it. I'm excited. I hope that they're able to cause some chaos and really mess with the Big Ten.
Be a good time. That'll do it for us, everyone. Sabres Live coming up next. Have a wonderful rest of your day. This is WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring
listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.